This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I have been looking forward to this episode of Vulnerable for a really long time. We've had Fifi Dobson on our books for a little bit, and like as the weeks have gone by, I have just been listening to her music. She just had an amazing single just come out called Recharge My Heart, and it has recharged my heart, and listening to all of her music, which has gotten me through decades of angst. I love her so much, and what a joy she is to chat with. She's the most down-to-earth, talented, just like fun soul. She's coming to like a city near you soon, so please go check her out. Follow her on TikTok and Instagram and enjoy our interview because we had a lot of fun.
I'm Christy Carlson Romano, and this is the Vulnerable Podcast.
What's up? Hi.
What's up? Hi.
Thanks for, oh my gosh, so much warm flowing love in my heart for you. Thank you for coming
thank
on.
You. Of course. Thanks for having me.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Now, wait a minute. Is this like your home, right? Nashville's been your home for a while.
Yeah, I've been here since like 2013 back and forth from Toronto. So now I'm like full time since 2018.
Okay, so here's the deal. I live in Austin and my brother moved to Nashville, and at one point, I was very, very strongly considering Nashville because a lot of people either went to Nashville or Austin during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Like, what's the vibe of Nashville? What drew you, you know, out of Canada to there?
Well, I lived in L.A., and wow. Yeah, I lived in LA and I was just kind of like, I needed a bit of a change and just like a different scenery, even though like a lot of my friends are out there and I love dearly, but I just wanted to change it up for a bit. So I came out here and just kind of fell in love with it. The culture and the music and the food and just how like it's grown so much. It's pretty crazy.
I've seen something similar in Austin, and I guess like some people are, you know, the people are protective of a place when it's, I don't know if you want to call it the gentrifying or just the growth, like that massive growth that happens. And I feel like Nashville's probably seen it too, but I will say the food scene is absolutely thriving and just so good. So good here. Have you been down here to Austin?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Austin I feel like has always been ahead, you know, just musically and eating clean and yeah, Austin's a rad city.
It is, and I want to see you here. I want to see you perform here soon. And you're on tour.
Hell yeah.
So speaking of being ahead, I was talking to my producer before we came on, and we were just kind of going over notes about, you know, your career and how much we all love you. And like, I truly feel like, and I don't know how you feel about this, but that you have always been ahead of your time.
Thank you.
Fact or fiction?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've always kind of just, I don't know, did my own thing. And if I were to have done anything else and I tried to be or act a different way, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up with it. So it's just me.
And it's interesting because we come from this like millennial time frame of pop stardom that like was very inauthentic, right? Mm-hmm. And what always stood out about like your music, your vibe, and ultimately just how you've conducted yourself, I think, in hindsight too, because you didn't like in my opinion, I don't feel like you've sold out. I feel like you're a true songwriter and a true artist. And it's just amazing to be able to connect with you now, even through social media, which is how we got to connect. It's strange how things evolve and grow. But honestly, if I just want to speak about the time frame of us being these like millennial, like I was a Disney kid and you were sort of coming up in the record label game. Like, take me back to that time that we were both acquainted with. And what was it like being a Canadian recording artist and then sort of coming into this like crazy world?
Well, my first album came out in 2003. So it was an interesting time. It was when we wore dresses over jeans and
lots of belts
and rubber bracelets. And yeah. I was wearing the cutoff gloves back then with the fishnet cutoff gloves. And
that was hot,
you know,
though.
It was the thing. And, you know, for me musically, pop rock, pop punk rock, I mean, it was whatever we want to call it as a genre. It mm-hmm. was what felt right to me. And it's kind of like my leather jackets or different things like that are like part of my identity, you know, and kind of felt like a second skin. Even musically, that felt like my second skin of like being able to reflect and express myself and my childhood and all the situations going on in my life as a teen and have some rebellion, like to be rebellious. And that was really important to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my music back then just reflected being 17 years old and what I was going through in Scarborough, Ontario, mm-hmm. which is 30 minutes out of Toronto, mm-hmm. 40 minutes out of Toronto. And and trying to just break out and be heard and not have to live with mom and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, super angsty. And also accessible because a lot of people felt you really hard, me included, me being one of them. Yeah, so you had this fashion and of course it was in vogue at the moment, but you were saying that like your way into the rock world. I mean, who were you generally inspired by? Like when you started writing music and like approaching your style?
It changed throughout. I mean, first of all, in my home, like there was so much music. There was just music everywhere. My mom was playing like Phil Collins, Lionel Richie, mm-hmm. Bob Marley, Depeche Mode. Like it was all over the map. And for then sure. My sister was playing Guns N' Roses and Nirvana. And so I was kind of like hit with it all, which I'm so thankful for in the
long
run.
Dude, millennials, we have such a vast, like when you listen to my playlist, it's like club music, EDM yeah. music, or like rock, like hard
yeah.
rock.
Yeah. And honestly, like I discovered a lot of music on my own as well when I kind of branched out and like left home and had my own vinyls and my own like lifestyle where I could kind of just play music all day and all night and not get in trouble kind of thing without headphones. So yes. I kind of fell in love with like Joan Jett and I kind of saw her haircut when I was younger and was like, that's it. That's my hairstyle. That's been my hairstyle forever too.
It has. It's gorgeous on your face too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I ripped that off from Joan Jett.
Yeah.
And then like just fashion wise as well from her and like Sid Vicious and mm-hmm. Slash and Axl Rose.
Now I'm seeing it.
Janet
now
Jackson.
I'm seeing the Slash and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always kind of just, I don't know what it was. It just felt like it made sense to me.
Yeah. What was it like actually being a female at that time, like breaking into the pop punk scene? It was, I remember being in college and dating like too many wrestler guys and them always being obsessed with pop punk and like, you know, the Lost Prophets and like the AFI and then like whoever else was like super edgy at the time. And I mean, they were for the most part, but it's like very masculine, like I would say very bro. And if you're up and coming, I feel like, what was that like for you to be sort of like, oh, I'm going to have to lean into this pop princess thing? Or like, what was that like in terms of just the gender of it, I guess?
Oh, yeah, I could never. It wasn't possible for me, honestly. Like, I had to wear Dickies and Converse. And mm-hmm. my whole goal when I first started was, you know, because I was put on stage with a lot of punk bands, you know, and rock bands and a lot of dudes. And so my whole thing was like, I want to get off the stage and for them to feel like they're left in my dust. Like, I was like, there's no, nice. Like, I didn't care that I was a girl. It didn't matter to me. And in fact, that pushed me even harder to prove to them that I would kick their butt, you know?
Love that.
And I had to. And they all became like buddies and we all kind of hung out and stuff like that. But yeah, it was hard for me. Like, I didn't wear a dress till I was in my mid-20s. And it was a great dress, though. It was a vintage Versace.
Nice. But if you're gonna bust out the difference in the clothes, do it for vintage.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was younger, I just wanted to just, I don't know, I didn't care who, like, if I was a girl or act like a boy. I didn't really care. I just wanted to show people what I felt internally, you know?
Interesting. Interesting. What was your first song that you ever wrote? Random question. Really random.
I had written I loved boy bands, so I wrote a boy band song for like a local boy band in Toronto that they were looking for songs and they were on a show called Speaker's Corner and I wrote them and was like, I got this song. Like, I was like 14 and they
were
all like 18.
That's awesome. That took so much bravery, dude.
Yeah, but I also, yeah.
You're like, it also wasn't?
Yeah. It was also like, what's wrong with me? But anyway, they came and like took the song and recorded it and stuff. But that was like my first kind of like, I don't know, move in the writing department for others. But for myself, it was a song called If You Could Only Read My Mind. And then I think Rainbow off the first album, which was a bonus track, was one of the first songs as well. Mm-hmm.
So, loved your first album. I love all your albums, but like I obviously...
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Love them. I love them. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
When did you realize that you had this like fan base? What was that like? Was it in Canada at first or like when you started going into the States and performing in the States? What was that like for you?
Touring was amazing because it honestly, I had never even been to a house party before that. I had never like got to like travel. I never did anything. So like I just lived in this like the suburbs and all of a sudden I was on an airplane and performing and doing TRL and all that stuff. And New York was like, whoa, you know, everything was just, and like LA was crazy to me. Like I remember I went to the Universal lot or like the Disney lot, one of those lots. I don't know. Right. And the squirrels there, like the squirrels come up to you and
that's Disney.
It's crazy. Like yeah. They're the craziest squirrels. And I was like, oh my God, these squirrels are so sweet. But yeah, traveling was cool. Touring was cool. My first international tour was, overseas was with Justin Timberlake. And that was like crazy for me because I was a huge fan and I was just like, whoa, that was a whoa moment.
It was a whoa moment. You're like, I have fans. Sure. They love me.
It was really cool.
Back when we were sort of hitting our stride, there was no social media. Like, and now I feel like I got to find you on social media. Not find you because I've always listened to your music. You've always been on my playlist rotation. But in terms of like being able to access you making fun trend content or just let's see where you're at and what city you're in or what's your new single that's come out. It was really refreshing to see it. And it's kind of why I love, you know, like TikTok in general. It's like a pretty good community that you can grow fast on and you can like get your like name and your brand and your rebrand or whatever it is. Like you can get it out there.
I have a question. What do you enjoy? Like, cause I'm still trying to find my rhythm on TikTok.
And hell yeah. I just hit a million today.
That's amazing. So
and it's fucking hard.
What made you inspired by like, what's your, you know?
Okay.
Cause it's like such a different platform because we had Instagram and then it's like,
I'm going to break it down for you, Fifi Dobson. We are going to talk about this. Okay, so here's the deal. Once you understand your brand, which you do, see, the thing is you're almost so authentic that it's almost like you need to look at yourself outside of yourself and say, who is Fifi Dobson? Not like, who am I? I am Fifi. It's more like if I took myself and put me in like this is a Coke bottle, right? I'm holding up some sort of caffeinated water, which I desperately need. And and I put it there and that's you.
Yeah.
It's like you have to say to yourself, okay, like, well, what am I? I had the guy who's married to Beyonce's mom, his name's Richard Lawson, and he was my acting coach in California for a while, and he's a genius at, you know, this kind of thought process. And he was like, this is why actors change their names. And because if they say that this is my product, they can sell that product and they can look at that product. But when we think about like TikTok and stuff, right? Like you have to do everything to serve that brand and everything that that brand and whatever is similar to that brand is doing. So it's that nuanced that I feel like if, and here's the other thing, you can engage with your fans directly and then answer their questions. And I think that words to live by when you're trying to grow on social media is give the people what they want. And if you lead by that, you're going to grow a lot faster. And sometimes I'll be like, but I don't want to do another Kim Possible, you know, video. I don't want to do another, you know, lean into the past. But the problem is that not everybody is seeing your video. Otherwise, it would be served algorithmically. And the same shit happens on YouTube, where you have this amazing music video, but no one sees it because it's not being prioritized in the algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
This is that's my two cents. Sorry. That's wild. All I know. And that, thank you for
asking
me.
No, that helps. I mean, it's interesting to me because we've gone from MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, Insta, and then now TikTok, and there'll be another one, I'm sure.
Of course.
But it's always trying to find new ways to connect, you know?
In a more direct capacity too. Like now they have Be Real, which is like showing you where you are right now and then the flip side of your camera. And I guess it gives you some random notification where you're supposed to do it so everybody does it at once. It's forcing community. And for you on tour, that might be cool because then it gives people exclusive access, which is what they always really want, is a piece of you, like an exclusive part of you. And it's why lives do really well and you can monetize lives. And like, you can be very savvy to all of this, but I am always up to talking to you about this. So even offline, like, please hit me up.
Awesome.
My husband is like really big in it too. He's my producing partner. And I just think we failed upwards. You know what I mean? Where you put a lot of money into something and then you do the one thing that's just giving the people what they want to see you do. And then like, that's the thing that like, you know, that's just... It's just twisted. But like what got me into this was like you came up with no social media, right? So that must be very interesting for you to see, like you're saying, like see all the different ones go by you. Like, do you feel like you struggled with your identity throughout that digital revolution? Or like, where did you sit as an artist and all that?
Well, yeah, definitely when my first album came out and stuff, and we were doing press, it was like, okay, we have a ton of in-person interviews that are going to print. Print was the thing. Print. And then, print. And then at the end, they'd be like, oh, but we have this one online interview. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal, but, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's the very opposite. And for sure, I mean, MySpace was interesting to me because I could just put music up, but I still didn't really connect with MySpace. I connected more with Instagram when I could like put up random photos. Like I kind of got into it when I was like, there's an elbow, what do people think? You know, and I could be all like,
it's not a butt,
artsy with it. Yeah, it's not a butt, you know. A rose petal, you know. But it's changed a lot from that too. So I'm just always trying to, you know, you're rediscovering yourself when things change. And that's an interesting aspect as well. It's like, okay, I have to find a new way to connect, to share, to express myself, and not just through music and interviews. But I do like that I can control the narrative. That part I really respect.
Yes. And speaking of that, like, how do you feel like the narrative has been in time for you? Like, in general, like I said, I really do feel like you're ahead of your time. And knowing, you know, obviously we have our Avril and we have our Flyleaf, we have our, you know, even our Ashley Simpsons at the time that all of this was coming up. And it grew and it grew and it grew, right? And now we're seeing people like Olivia Rodrigo, like, mention you as one of their inspirations. And I mean, there are current Billboard folks that are like, Fifi Dobson, she's like the reason I'm starting to do all this and she's my inspiration. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten to sort of connect with some of these younger talented girls and like touch base with them on it?
Yeah, I was able to speak with Willow and love her and really love what she's doing. I think it's so important. I think that we need strong women. We always have. And especially after the last couple of years, we need music that reflects how we feel inside. And we need to be able to turn on something and sing, you know, at the top of our lungs and feel like we, I don't know, like someone understands what we're going through.
Yeah, 100%. And that is something I've seen represented on TikTok, whether it's, you know, women sort of creating these amazing punk songs about like my body is, you know, not your body kind of thing. And there's some really great anthemic things that exist that you kind of find. And I think it sounds to me like you've always encapsulated that. And it's exciting because I know that you're on the precipice of really understanding that. And I am going to gas you up every time you post something, just so you know. But so what was that like chatting with Willow then too? Willow's amazing. And obviously her mom, mm-hmm. Jada, is a punk rock singer too. And mm-hmm. have you been able to touch base with her? Like, do you have a relationship with the fam or like the punk rock music element of where they exist in the artist world? Like, I feel like you should definitely do a collab.
That'd be awesome. No, I haven't really had a combo with Jada or got to hang out with them at all. Me and Willow had like a FaceTime, which was really rad. And we got to stick together, you know, like as women and especially when we're all the time. But just I find that we have to support each other. And that's probably one of the things I would say in the early 2000s that I thought was really rad was, you know, when we all kind of came out around the same time, Avril and Ashley and Katie Rose and like a bunch of artists, when we all kind of hit at the same time, Michelle Branch, you know?
Yes.
It was like nobody was really talking shit about anybody because it was just like we needed each other in a lot of ways to kind of like push through together.
Yeah, you guys were the only girls at the party.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
Angry dudes with eyeliner. But they're cute. Yep. Angry dudes with eyeliner are cute.
Yes, 100%.
So you're in Nashville. You're loving Nashville. Do you ever miss Canada?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not when it's winter time.
But you're like, see ya, fuckers.
Yeah. No, I've been going out there a lot recently, just been doing a lot of work out there. So I don't miss it right now because I'll be there in like, you know,
that's where are you?
I don't know, like a week.
I was going to say, did you start your tour yet?
Oh, no, not yet.
I didn't think so. Okay.
We just released a new single. Yes. Recharge My Heart. And
please go stream that, guys, and save it and listen. It's amazing. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. We're just kind of starting it up and getting out there. But yeah, I love Toronto. Toronto's like my heart. Will always be my heart, honestly.
I love Canada. I got married at Banff.
You did?
I did. I got married in
Banff. Why Banff?
And I have no connection to Canada whatsoever because, first of all, I love Canadian people. Canadian people are generally very nice, and it's a great stereotype. I mean, I'm sure there's some jerks everywhere, but I've had really positive experiences in Canada. And you're going to laugh, but there was a YouTube video where I talk about, like, I filmed some Disney movies up there. And it was like very European, you know, it was Canada. And people were like, what the hell is she talking about? It's Canada, not Europe. But I think I was in Montreal. And Montreal has a European influence to it.
Yeah.
And in general, I find that some of the bigger Fifi Dobson's laughing at me, guys.
No, I get the European thing though. I Yeah.
It's not America.
People have said that. No, it's not America.
So sweet.
No,
it's, I say some dumb shit sometimes. It's okay. No. But honestly, for some reason, Canada feels, it does feel like another country in the best way for me. I've had a beautiful time at Banff in the past. So when I decided I want to get married, I wanted to get married there on New Year's Eve. And so I did.
Oh, that's cute.
It was very magical.
Banff.
Okay, so you're on tour. you're going on tour. You have the new single out. You had another amazing hit earlier this year, Fucking In Love. And it's a really fun song. And I had heard it, and I don't know if I put two and two together because I had heard it on TikTok and I had heard it around. So it was, yes, people have been using that song. I know that song.
Oh, sick.
So it's out there. See, we need to get you linked up with all the peeps. You need to tag her, guys, because she's up there.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's important to be interconnected to the folks. And when they can tag you, it's way better because then you can really respond to like what it is they're riffing of, like on either your music or whatever you're doing.
Well, Tara Regis did one. I
know.
And she was talking about Josie and the Pussycats coming back. And she was like saying like, who wants to see Josie and the Pussycats come back? And I was like, hell yeah, I want to see Josie and the, I mean, it's perfect timing for
but
them
you need
to do
be
a
in
new
it.
Josie and the Pussycats.
But you need to be in it. Come on, you need to be in it.
It'll be amazing. I would love
this. And like speaking of goals, like this is what I was getting to roundabout for me. But what are your goals besides touring and obviously like releasing great music?
Definitely, I'd love to do film and TV when the right stuff, you know, when the right roles and things come about. Keep making me. I mean, music is like my life. So it's, I'm like thinking about music mostly every day, honestly, because something will happen and dramatic and I need to express myself. And I used to keep a journal. I don't know if you used to do that when you were younger or whatever. Keep a journal. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, especially when I was trying to write, like I wrote with The Matrix for a hot second. And I definitely was told, keep a journal if you're going to be a songwriter. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, journals are just great. And they're also great for manifestation and all that stuff, which I really truly believe in. So, but I haven't kept one in a minute, which now, like, and so I need to get a new one. But I'm always kind of like trying to be creative. And I was always told that writing is like a muscle, you know, and you have to keep it going. You got to work it out so you don't go through moments of like, I have nothing to write about. And there's nothing coming out, you know? Mm-hmm. And that can be very frustrating when you have that kind of like feeling of being stuck, you know?
Yeah, because you almost like you have the desire to write because it's like that muscle memory is very probably, it never goes away for someone like you who's been successful at it and knows that they can do it. It's like, I want to sing and I want to belt, but if I haven't practiced and it's been years for me, and I also had like nodular surgery some years ago, it's one of those things where it's like, you can't just like go sing an aria or like belt something. You've got to, you know, keep it going. Otherwise it can get a little bit softer.
Yeah, I agree. Writing is one that can slowly come back, like when you're not doing it for a while, but singing, if you don't sing for a while, you gotta like, to get those notes, you gotta, it is an exercise, it is practice. And even, I remember when NSYNC came out and they were talking about how they used to have to sing and dance at the same time. And that's how they kind of got their chops up. And when I'm on that treadmill, like there are days I have to remind myself, like, I need to sing and run at the same time because it's a lot.
When you're working out, you're like, I should be singing right now. Oh shoot.
Yeah, because it's a lot. Like when you're on stage and you're running around, like you can be gasping for some air for
and
sure.
And are you wearing heels or do you not wear, are we not wearing heels on stage?
I do wear heel boots. I find I like my little booties, heel booties.
That's got to hurt the back.
You know what? I do have a bit of a crick when I go to the left. I need to go see a chiropractor.
Dang, we need to hook you up.
I know, well, right?
I just moved houses and I'm 38 and I'm like, this isn't the same as like when I was like, you know, just moving around when I was in my 20s. The body just does different things.
It hurts. I mean, sometimes you hurt yourself from like literally, like, even just flying, like, I need pillows now because I'm like, I can't do this. It's like, it's not normal. It's not normal to be scrunched up for
how many hours. We don't bounce back. The skin, the muscles.
Yeah, like hangovers. You know? Hangovers are the worst now. Like, when I have a hangover, I'm like, don't call me for like 4 days. Yeah. I'm like,
girl, I had to be 6 years sober now because of how much drinking I did in my 20s. I'm like,
well, congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yes. That's awesome.
Oh, man. So your goals are to keep working, keep acting, because I know you've acted in the past. Do you love acting? What about acting, like, makes you kind of want to do it again?
I do like acting. I like kind of like being someone else for a while, you know, because when you're, I feel like as an artist, an artist is a funny word because I feel actors are artists too, but for a musician, it's very, we're kind of like always thinking about our own brand and what's next. And you're thinking about the music and this, that, and the third. But when you get to kind of like step away and like be someone else, you don't have to really worry too much about yourself, which is really nice. I also like to help tell stories. So if it's about someone else's life or another situation, I like to try to convey that story and like help tell that situation.
So since we are manifesting and we're buying a journal and we're writing it down, let's be specific. Okay, so what characters are we trying to play, Fifi? Because are you going to play like against type to get people like hyped? Or is it going to be just like lean into like being this awesome rock star chick, like a Joan Jett, like in some edgy Sundance pick?
I would love to do edgy, like the Gia movie, like Gia, like,
oh, I love Gia.
Like I would love to do stuff like that. But, you know, the funny thing about manifestation, though, is sometimes we have to keep it close because, you know, then there's too many minds involved.
This is true, actually, because you know, there used to be times in my life where I'd be very superstitious. And I agree with you because I think with manifestation, it's energetic. And so if it lives within you, you can kind of pull like energy towards you, right? So I get that. I buy that 100%.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, maybe even with your friends or family, like, you might want to express this thing that you're trying to manifest. But, you know, if you bring too many different energies involved that may not have the same desire for you.
They got haters. Then, you got haters.
Yeah, you just but it's like a real thing. It's like keep it close
and keep it flowing and built and growing. Yeah. So do you feel like you manifested your newest album?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, like, it's been long awaited, you know? Sorry, it's been long awaited.
Honestly, just staying positive and like just like seeing more for yourself, continuously giving yourself goals, I feel definitely helps with manifestation. And yeah, of course, I've most definitely did somehow just by being excited about new music and wanting to see everyone again and share, you know?
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I mean, where are we going? Where are we going first? Please, like, let's tell everybody where you're stopping, so that they can make sure that they're buying the tickets and they're going.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely put it all up on the socials.
So we'll find it on TikTok and we'll find it on Instagram because with a rose petal. It'll be in a carousel with a rose petal and an elbow.
With an elbow.
Please keep kicking ass. And I feel like there's going to be so much that's going to be happening for you because I believe in you in a way that's like long time coming kind of thing. Like, it's so easy to root for you, Fifi, because, you know, when we were coming up, granted, there may not have been a lot of competition that you felt. There was a lot of female folks and it was a race, you know what I'm saying? And so for some of us, like for me, I ended up going to college and I didn't, you know, go from TV series to TV series. And you may not have gone from like stadium tour to stadium tour to stadium tour to, you know, Vegas residency or whatever. And what I find is the best thing about that trajectory is that like we were able to live our lives and also like have our artistry and like have our relationship to it and our own, like you were saying, controlling the narrative a little bit more over time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I agree with that.
Cool. So then I know you have another interview, but can you please tell us where everyone can find you directly though? Like I said, Instagram and TikTok, but what are your handles?
Fifi Dobson on Instagram and Fifi Dobson on TikTok.
Well, how about that? That is simple. Thank you, Fifi, so much for coming on, and I adore you, and we're going to be friends now, so my life is made.
Yes, I would love that. I would love that. Thanks, girl.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Vulnerable is hosted by me, Christy Carlson Romano, produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham, and executive produced by Brendan Rooney. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. Follow Vulnerable wherever you listen to podcasts, so you can join me every week for a vulnerable conversation. And be sure to follow Vulnerable on Instagram and TikTok at The Vulnerable Podcast. And make sure to tune in to my YouTube to watch the video version.